12 Sonnets. 1. A Mountain Spring. Peace hath an altar there. The sounding feet of thunder and the wildering wings of rain against fire-rifted summits flash and beat, and through grey upper gorges swoop and strain. But round that hallowed mountain spring remain, year after year, the days of tender heat and gracious nights, whose lips with flowers are sweet, and filtered lights and lutes of soft refrain. A still, bright pool. To men I may not tell the secret that its heart of water knows, the story of a loved and lost repose. Yet this I say to cliff and close-leaved dell, a fitful spirit haunts yon limpid well, whose likeness is the faithless face of rose. 2. Laura. If Laura, lady of the flower-soft face, should light upon these verses, she may take the tenderest line, and through its pulses trace what man can suffer for a woman's sake. For in the nights that burn, the days that break, a thin pale figure stands in passion's place, and peace comes not, nor yet the perished grace of youth, to keep old faiths and fires awake. Ah, marvellous maid! Life sobs, and sighing, saith, she left me, fleeting like a fluttered dove, but I would have a moment of her breath, so I might taste the sweetest scents thereof, and catch from blossoming, honeyed lips of love some faint, some fair, some dim, delicious death. 3. By a River. By red ripe mouth and brown luxurious eyes of her I love, by all your sweetness shed in far fair days, on one whose memory flies to faithless lights and gracious speech gainsaid, I pray you, when yon river path I tread, make with the woodland some soft compromise, lest they should vex me into fruitless sighs with visions of a woman's gleaming head. For every green and golden-hearted thing that gathers beauty in that shining place, beloved of beams and wooed by wind and wing, is rife with glimpses of her marvellous face, and in the whispers of the lips of spring the music of her lute-like voice I trace. 4. Attila. What though his feet were shod with sharp fierce flame, and death and ruin were his daily squires, the Scythian, helped by heaven's thunders, came. The time was ripe for God's avenging fires. Lo! Loose, lewd trulls and lean luxurious liars had brought the fair, fine face of Rome to shame, and made her one with sins beyond a name, that queenly daughter of imperial sires. The blood of elders, like the blood of sheep, was dashed across the circus. Once, while din and dust and lightnings and a draggled heap of beast-slain men made lords with laughter leap, night fell with rain. The earth, so sick of sin, had turned her face into the dark to weep. 5. A Reward. Because a steadfast flame of clear intent gave force and beauty to full-actioned life, because his way was one of firm ascent, whose stepping stones were hewn of change and strife, because, as husband loveth noble wife, he loved fair truth, because the thing he meant to do, that thing he did, nor paused, nor bent in face of poor or pale conclusions. Yea, because of this, how fares the leader dead? What kind of mourners weep for him today? What golden shroud is at his funeral spread? Upon his brow, what leaves of laurel say? About his breast is tied a sackcloth grey, and knots of thorns deface his lordly head. 6. 2. A handmaid to the genius of thy song is sweet, fair scholarship. 'Tis she supplies the fiery spirit of the passioned eyes with subtle syllables, whose notes belong to some chief source of perfect melodies. And glancing through a laureled, lordly throng of shining singers, lo, my vision flies to William Shakespeare. He it is whose strong, full flute-like music haunts thy stately verse. A worthy Levite of his court thou art, one sent among us to defeat the curse that binds us to the actual. Yea, thy part, O lute-voiced lover, is to lull the heart of love repelled, its darkness to disperse. 7. The Stanza of Childe Harold. Who framed the stanza of Childe Harold? He it was who, halting on a stormy shore, knew well the lofty voice, which evermore, in grand distress, doth haunt the sleepless sea with solemn sounds. And as each wave did roll, till one came up, the mightiest of the whole, to sweep and surge across the vacant lea, wild words were wedded to wild melody. This poet must have had a speechless sense of some dead summer's boundless affluence. Else, whither can we trace the passioned lore of beauty, steeping to the very core his royal verse, and that rare light which lies about it like a sunset in the skies? 8. A Living Poet. He knows a sweet vexation in the strife of love with time, this bard who fain would stray to fairer place beyond the storms of life, with astral faces near him, day by day. In deep mossed dells, the mellow waters flow which best he loves, for there the echoes, rife with rich suggestions of his, long ago, Astarte, pass with thee. And far away, dear southern seasons haunt the dreamy eye, spring, flower-zoned, and summer, warbling low in tasseled corn, alternate, come and go, while gypsy autumn, splashed from heel to thigh with vine-blood, treads the leaves, and, halting nigh, wild winter bends across a beard of snow. 9. Dante and Virgil. When lost Francesca sobbed her broken tale of love and sin and boundless agony, while that wan spirit by her side did wail and bite his lips for utter misery, the grief which could not speak, nor hear, nor see, so tender grew the superhuman face of one who listened, that a mighty trace of superhuman woe gave way, and pale, the sudden light upstruggled to its place, while all his limbs began to faint and fail with such excess of pity. But, behind, the Roman Virgil stood, the calm, the wise, with not a shadow in his regal eyes, a stately type of all his stately kind. 10. Rest. Sometimes we feel so spent for want of rest, we have no thought beyond. I know today, when tired of bitter lips and dull delay with faithless words, I cast mine eyes upon the shadows of a distant mountain crest, and said, that hill must hide within its breast some secret glen secluded from the sun. O Mother Nature, would that I could run outside to thee, and, like a wearied guest, half blind with lamps, and sick of feasting, lay an aching head on thee. Then down the streams the moon might swim, and I should feel her grace, while soft winds blew the sorrows from my face, so quiet in the fellowship of dreams. 11. After Parting. I cannot tell what change hath come to you to vex your splendid hair. I only know one grief, the passion left betwixt us two, like some forsaken watchfire, burneth low. 'Tis sad to turn and find it dying so, without a hope of resurrection. Yet, a radiant face that found me tired and lone, I shall not for the dear dead past forget the sweetest looks of all the summers gone. Ah, time hath made familiar wild regret, for now the leaves are white in last year's bowers, and now doth sob along the ruined leas the homeless storm from saddened southern seas, while March sits weeping over withered flowers. 12. Alfred Tennyson. the silvery dimness of a happy dream I've known of late. Methought, where Byron moans, like some wild gulf in melancholy zones, I passed tear-blinded. Once a lurid gleam of stormy sunset loitered on the sea, while, travelling troubled like a straitened stream, the voice of Shelley died away from me. Still sore at heart, I reached a lake-lit lea, and then the green-mossed glades, with many a grove, where lies the calm which Wordsworth used to love, and lastly, Locksley Hall, from whence did rise a haunting song that blew and breathed and blew with rare delights. 'Twas there I woke, and knew the sumptuous comfort left in drowsy eyes. We hope that you have enjoyed these readings from Leaves from Australian Forests by Henry Kendall, narrated by Dennis Daly. This recording may be freely downloaded and distributed as long as Voices of Today is credited as the author. It may not be used for commercial purposes or distributed in an edited or remixed form. For further information about Voices of Today or to explore its catalogue, please visit voicesoftoday.org. Thank you for listening.